Let's go to Andy Baggerly at CSN Bags. Bags, how are you this morning?
Hey, Marty. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to see you last night. And, boy, you sit back and you watch a game unfold, and this improbable season continues on. It looked like the Giants had one in the bag last night, and what happened?
Well, the tile in the mosaic didn't turn out to be very shiny, did it?
Not on this one. But there are more mosaic tiles to put into this thing, I will tell you that.
You're right. And sometimes you have to take a hammer and just break those pieces up. So we'll see if that's where they end up having to go at the end of this season. But it is crazy. I mean, Madison Bumgarner said it last night. He said, you know, we keep saying we just got to come back tomorrow and grind it out. But it seems like you're running out of time to say that. And then you check the standings and you think, okay, well, they didn't lose ground to the Dodgers. They're 5.5 back. They're within a half game of the two teams that are kind of tied percentage points to lead the wild card. I mean, they play a lot of games against teams that aren't very good the rest of the way. You think they still have this thing under control. It's still totally within their destiny. And yet at the same time, it seems to have gotten so far away from them. So those two things are kind of hard mentally to size up, but that's kind of where they are.
Yeah, I always say 21-37 kind of tells the story for me. But then I look at the wild card and I look at the amount of games left and I say, boy, you got a lot of games with the Dodgers even head-to-head. Within baseball, you look at all these races, Kansas City, Detroit, the A's and the Angels. These teams have games head-to-head. Certainly the Central, that'll be the story of September. So maybe this is one you don't put an exclamation point on yet until this thing plays out. This one may be one of those crazy baseball seasons that once you get to September, things happen.
Well, and I'm not suggesting that the Giants are showing that they're good enough to make a run, but I do think it's a little premature to think the Dodgers are going to run away from the pack here, because Ryu just hit the disabled list. They've been picking up pitchers, basically anybody who's not nailed down, they're grabbing. Kevin Correa, Roberto Hernandez, the former Fausto Carmona. They got somebody else, I think, yesterday, right? Name escapes me.
Well, but I think Baez, they brought something like that. I thought they brought somebody up yesterday. Darren Barney they got a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I was talking on the pitching front. There's another pitcher they picked up recently. I forget the name. It might have been yesterday. But, I mean, you know, they're leaking oil, too. They have Hanley Ramirez on the disabled list. So, you know, if for somehow the Giants were able to sort of rediscover what they were in April and May, they absolutely could catch the Dodgers because, you know, they don't look like the good shit ball they pop here either right now, even though they have probably more aggregate talent on their roster. But, you know, a game like last night is just so deflating because you wait 2 months to get a quality start from Madison Bumgarner at home, which for whatever reason has eluded him, and you get it. It seems like these sellout crowds have been waiting months for a home run like Michael Morse did last night, and they got it. And, you know, I don't think you really blame Jeremy Appel because he's pitched very well all year, but he slips on the rubber and leaves the fastball up, and for the first time in 3 years, a lefty hits a home run off him, and it just happened to be right at that moment when it could tie the game. And so you think, gosh, you know, we get all of these elements we've been looking for, and we still lose. You can go two ways with this, right? You either say, well, then this is just not to be. We can't even win when we're doing things right. Or you think, well, okay, we've got Bumgarner figured out at home again. Morse is had some good at-bats and stung the ball hard twice and worked a good walk, so you're getting contributions from him. Maybe this thing can turn around if you keep getting those elements. And so I guess it's sort of checked your psyche, or if you're an optimist or a pessimist, depending on which way you take it.
Yeah, you know how I think about it? If you were 10 games out and you had 41 to play, then you're thinking of where are we going to go in October for a vacation. But as a professional athlete, when you're a half a game out of a playoff spot, or 5.5 out of a division with 41 to go, you have to feel, you have to dig deep and feel that you can make this thing happen. Now, if they were 10 out, you lose a game like this, boy, you come in the next day and, you know, you're just as down as can be. I would think that they should be excited that they have a shot to do this thing, and it just starts with one game.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that, you know, it would have helped if they'd gotten something at the trade deadline, just anything, a little token from management just to show, hey, look, we believe in you guys. But the way the team had played, particularly at home, I don't think management could do that if it meant sacrificing some minor league players that they're going to need down the road because, you know, we've gone over time and time again the need for them to develop some less expensive homegrown players with the big contracts that they've got here. So, you know, that's a bit of a conundrum as well. What really I think is a big disappointment this year is a lot of the bench guys and a lot of the guys that they expected to play sort of secondary roles. I mean, you know, Joaquin Arias, he got a two-year contract, which a lot of guys in his position don't get, because he had played so well and shown so much versatility. And boy, he really has been a disappointment this year. And I don't know what's happened to Gregor Blanco, because we all know when he plays every day, okay, he gets exposed a little bit. It happened the last 2 years with Angel Pagan. The Giants probably should have done more to protect themselves from that, you know, possibility. But even, you know, coming off the bench, you know, a game like last night was just such a disappointment. He screws up the safety squeeze, which you know, Bochy said he talked to Blanco afterwards. He's stealing third, trying to steal third base in games when they're down four or five runs. I just don't get it. And even going back on balls, how many balls, like, right near the wall in center field has he caught in the past that he hasn't caught this year? I'm really scratching my head wondering, you know, what happened to Gregor Blanco this year.
Yeah, no, good point. And I was interested that I'm glad you brought up Bochy's reaction, because that safety squeeze, the word safety is the operative word. And it's got to go past the pitcher. If it doesn't, you stay where you are. It didn't go past the pitcher, and he took off. That ended up costing him a big run last night. Andy, what about Brandon Belt? What's going on with him? You know, again, we look at first base, and you try to figure out how this team hit so many home runs. They finally got to 100 last night. What's up with Brandon Belt?
I forgot. That was their 100th home run. Remember when they were on pace to hit 200?
Yeah.
Early in the year?
I do this TLC for Kids Sport, you know, the home run thing. I've been waiting for 100. I was on 99 for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's going on with Bill? He's not going to go to Chicago with the team. He's going to go to Pittsburgh instead. And I really thought they would have sent him there when the team was in Philadelphia and he was dealing with these concussion symptoms, you know, on that trip. But they thought he was going to turn a corner, get better. He did for a little bit, then went south again. So he's going to go see Dr. Mickey Collins of the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. He is considered one of the best concussion, sports concussion experts in the country. You know, way back when Mike Matheny couldn't play because of those foul tips to the mask. And oddly enough, that happened in Miami, same as Belt getting hit by that Marco Scudero throwing BP, happened in Miami too. Albeit at different ballparks. So they sent Matheny to the same guy, and he made his evaluations. And you know, obviously the Giants don't believe that these are the same situations. I think Belt did once have a concussion in college, but it's a whole different ballgame when you've taken, you know, many shots to the mask like Matheny did, or gotten plowed at home plate several times in collisions like he did. Belt doesn't have the kind of history that Matheny did of head trauma or head injuries. So I don't think anyone should say, oh, no, they're sending it to the guy who, you know, sort of dire straits. But they want to get another opinion. They want to get another idea of what's going on. He had an MRI, which you usually do to make sure there's no, you know, sort of intracranial bleeding or anything right. Weird going on. And from everything I understand, although we don't have official results, you know, there's nothing that turned up that was especially troubling. But, you know, they're going to try to find out what's the best course of treatment, what can they do to help speed this along, and how long should they wait until they, you know, try to do things that would elevate his heart rate, because that can trigger a whole bunch of symptoms. So I don't think you can really guess when he's going to be back. You know, he could be done for the season. Yeah, he could.
Well,
I would guess. I don't think so. But, you know, this certainly has been troubling, the fact that it's still hanging around.
Wow. Well, yeah, I don't know much about how you treat concussions. It seems like you always just wait it out. But, yeah, you're right. There must be ways to do things to speed it up if you can. Boy, that'll be an interesting story. Andy, today it's Kyle Kendrick and Tim Hudson. Hudson again goes for number 214. How would you assess Hudson's season for the Giants? The ERA is terrific. Is he just getting lost in these no decisions or losses and just what's happened to the ball club? Is he having a great year?
Well, I think that he threw a good bullpen yesterday. He didn't look anything like himself because it was Jake Peavy wearing Tim Hudson's batting practice uniform top. He walked out there without one. Peavy did, and so Hudson said, "Oh, I'll just take mine." So he took his off and gave it to Jake. That was pretty funny. You know, I think that if these guys feel sort of you know, disconsolate, And maybe deep down, some of them don't have the kind of hunger that you need to have because they've won a couple World Series rings. It can help sometimes to have a Tim Hudson in the room where you can say, look at this guy. He's the active Major League wins leader. He's been an all-star in his career. He's accomplished so much. He's been a part of many different teams. And this guy's never gotten out of the division series. You know, he's been to the playoffs a whole bunch of times and had a lot of hard luck playoff starts where he deserved a better fate. If you look at the – I wrote a story in spring training. I think his teams are something like 2-8 when he starts in playoff games. Mm. And it's through very little fault of his own. But, you know, if you want to hold up a guy and have a rallying cry, like, let's get in, let's do it for this guy. Let's give him a chance to wear a ring, too. I think Tim Hudson's right there. And he's a perfect example, you know. And that's what you heard from this team in 2012 or 2010. You know, I want to win for the guy next to me. I want to do this, you know, so I can play another day with the guy to my right or the guy to my left. And I really think that really can send a team, you know, when your motivations are kind of pure like that. So maybe that's what they need to do. Just remind themselves, hey, you know what? This guy has been very decorated. He's been to the playoffs many times. For whatever reason, he has just had the worst possible luck. I mean, let's remember, his last playoff start was against the Giants in 2010 for the Braves. I believe that was the Brooks Conrad game.
Yes, it was. That's correct, yeah.
So I mean, he did everything he could to win that game, and obviously it didn't work out. So, you know, maybe they can hold him up and say, hey, let's get in, let's make a charge, let's make a winner out of Tim Hudson because he deserves it.
All right. Hey, it's his 450th Major League start today. That's a milestone as well. Hey, Bags, thanks for coming on, and we'll see you shortly down here.
Okay, see you in a bit. Thanks, Marty.
All right, that is the great Andy Bagley. Boy, always a pleasure to start the day with him. Alex Pavlovich, Henry Schulman will be on with us tomorrow, Chris Haft. These guys cover it. They really do. And read Bags' blog from last night as he really takes apart what could be coming for the Giants over the winter.